Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. Mark 14, 66 through 72. It's probably one of the longest chapters in the New Testament. We've come to the end of it. Let's read God's word together. Let's begin. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again, and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." The second time a rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the words that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. May God bless his words to our hearts today. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this account of Peter's denial is recorded in all four Gospels, and for good reason. Whenever God mentions something four times, he wants you to really pay attention to it because it's important. So hear today from God's word the three ways that Peter denied Jesus, and the three ways that how Jesus endured all three denials of Peter, and still went to the cross for him. Our headings are three: the denial of Jesus, the strong denial of Jesus, and then the violent strong denial of Jesus. And our goals are that knowing what Jesus has done for sinners, that in turn you'll be motivated to love him and not deny him. So we start with the denial of Jesus. Peter stood at some distance to see what would happen to Jesus after he was arrested. You heard that he was warming himself with the enemy's fire and staying safe by pretending to be one of the enemies of Jesus. But it didn't take long for a young slave girl to come and look directly or straight at him, the Bible says again, at Peter, and called him out as being a follower of Jesus. And ironically, it was the enemy's fire that he was depending on to blend in that exposed his face so she could see him and say, "You are one of them. You are one of the followers of Jesus." Exposing his sin of denying Jesus. Remember, his denial was already in the heart. That's why he was hiding. But here he was exposed. Now, Peter's denial showed a few things. Peter denied knowing what she was talking about and even who she was talking about. He did what we would call the shuffle. He was dancing away, trying to get away from the truth. The one who said he would deny Jesus, the one who said he would go to prison for him just a few hours before, pretended he did not even know Jesus. He wouldn't even take an insult of being part of the family of Jesus Christ. Worse than that, Peter didn't even have many witnesses here to deny Jesus. Just one girl. He did not have Herod, the half-Jewish puppet leader, or Pilate, the Roman leader of Judea. He buckled at the testimony of a young slave girl. This was the least member in society according to Jewish laws. First, she was a woman. Second, she was young. Third, she was a girl. She was looked upon as sinfully, of course, but she was looked upon as the lowest member of society. He couldn't take an accusation from a girl like that, a little young girl. But worst of all, and this is what you should remember here. Worst of all, Peter was telling this young girl that Jesus wasn't worth knowing. And then the rooster crowed. Maybe it was like a prick in his heart. But the records were there. What lessons can we learn about this first denial of Jesus? Well, Jesus came to die even for the ones who denied him. Jesus didn't say, well, he's not acknowledging me, why should I care about him? Jesus came to die for the one who would deny him. Second, you might deny the Lord as well from time to time, but he never, ever denies knowing you. Isn't that something? You saw the failure of Peter, and yet you still do it. And yet, the Lord is saying, didn't you learn from Peter? And yet you deny the Lord as well from time to time. But he does not ever deny you. So you praise God for that. He has every right to deny you. Third, let me challenge you directly then. How often do you deny the Lord? I hope you would say, honestly, there are some things we deny the Lord. If you don't tell your boss, for example, that you're a Christian, and say, look, because of that, I can't work on Sunday, you're denying Jesus. That's it. You're denying Jesus. Even if it's inconvenient and you think, man, I don't want to be bothered. If people know I'm a Christian, they'll want to ask me questions, and I don't want to talk about that now. That's denying Jesus. And I know how easy that is. I recall of coming back once when we were in an airplane that had gotten damaged, and they're preparing us for a crash landing. And then, of course, people in the plane want to know, are there any ministers here? And I'm at the back, and I'm thinking about my wife, and I'm thinking about my children. And I didn't want to be bond trying to pray that the Lord will take care of them. And here are these people, oh, that guy in the back there, he's the minister. I wanted to be in peace and quiet. And people were just streaming at the back, what happens when we die? And they're asking questions in the plane, because we were circling for a couple of hours, 2.5 hours, I think, just going round and round the airport. And how easy it was for me, even as a pastor, to think, I don't want to be bothered by it. I've got other things to be concerned about. But that's denying the Lord if I didn't talk to those people. It's very easy when you don't want people to recognize who you are. It means you don't want them to recognize the one who made you who you are. But let's move on to the second thing. You see the progressive nature of Peter's denial. The second time, then Bible says, then the servant girl saw him again and told other people around that Peter was one of the disciples. Now, here's where the little challenge in the text comes today. There's a variant in the text between what Matthew and Mark has. And if you're not careful and you read it, you say, there's a contradiction in the Bible. Look at what Matthew wrote. Let's read together Matthew 26, 71 and 72. Together. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." So which one is true? Look at what the underlying part there. Mark said, "The servant girl saw him again." And then Matthew says, "Another girl saw him." Well, the answer is, both saw him. There were many people there. There's no contradiction. The first servant girl saw him. Another servant girl saw him. And the Bible also says that many others saw him and confronted him with the same thing. They all accused Peter of being a disciple of Jesus. Look at John's account in John 18:25. Together. Now Simon Peter stood and warned himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." So who else was telling him this for the second time that he denied Jesus? Therefore they said to him. So there were many people who were challenging Peter in the second instance. The point was, Peter denied Jesus three different times, not by three different persons. In fact, he denied it by many, many persons. He denied that he knew Jesus with many persons. He only denied Jesus at three times, like Jesus said he would. And then the second time, Peter denied he knew Jesus even more strongly. Why? Because now multiple people were coming. At least a couple of girls and a number of men who were around there. They start saying, "You are one of his disciples." Peter then says, "I don't even know the man." Peter had left his job to follow Jesus. Jesus had called him and said, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." He had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. Jesus had been to his house. Jesus had healed his mother-in-law. He pledged loyalty to Jesus. He was commissioned by Jesus numerous times to go and preach the gospel. He ate with Jesus. He had just cut off the ear of a man who had threatened Jesus. And he said, "I don't know the man. I don't know him." And notice that now he denies it with an oath. He's calling God to witness and say, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I don't know this man." But look at what Jesus warned. Luke chapter 12, verse 9, together. "But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." You deny Jesus, he will deny you. That's his warning to you. Peter was ready to fight a few hours earlier, but when there was a threat of physical pain, he abandoned his commitment to Jesus and strongly denied knowing him. So, what lessons can we learn here? Like before, Christ came to die even for the ones who strongly denied him. The Lord did not hold grudges against Peter and say, "You did it once and I forgive you. You did it a second time. That's enough." You know, that's our attitude. That's how we like to forgive. "Now, I'm not going to forgive you this time. You broke the commitment." He did not hold grudges against Peter. So, second application, learn to thank God for his grace. An election through Jesus Christ. Why is it that God didn't say, "Peter, you're done for. You're no better than Judas who betrayed me. You're going to hell"? Why did God not do that, to Peter? Was it because Peter was good? No, it was because God was good. That was God's electing sovereign love that called Peter to himself. And God would take care of all his sins, even his strong denials of Jesus Christ. You can never be lost, though you may sinfully deny Jesus from time to time. And why is that? How does that election work out? Look at how Jesus described this in Luke 22:32. Let's read together. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Who was Jesus addressing here? Peter. He said, Peter, I know you're going to fail me. But that's how electing love is worked out. He said, I am praying for you. You will see that in the next while in the second service as well. Third, how did Peter get into this trouble though? When you ignore the Holy Spirit, you expose yourself to much danger. So ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit will be rich in your life, and that your faith will be strong, that you will not deny knowing Jesus Christ. Don't ever think you are immune from falling. You could fall if you love too much money. It's easy to deny knowing Jesus. You could fall by marrying someone who is not a believer. That is a strong denial of Jesus when you stand up and you say, I do, to someone who does not honor Jesus Christ. You make a strong denial of Jesus if you're lazy and you don't want to work. That's our society today. I am expected to have everything. You have a responsibility to give me what I want, and I can be lazy. That's a denial of Jesus Christ. Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. We should watch him starve if he will not work. Now, if you can't work, of course you show mercy to someone like that. You help your neighbors. But there are many ways in which you can fall. Many sins that can make you deny Jesus Christ by your life. Look at the warning the Apostle Paul gave in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Together, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So just don't say, well, I'm a Christian, everything's okay. You need to depend upon God's Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit work? Through the Word of God. So the more you read the Word of God and you meditate on it and you listen to it explained, your soul will be strengthened and you will not deny Jesus Christ. The ones who will do that, the ones who will deny Jesus, are the ones who are not in His Word regularly and not praying for His Holy Spirit to work. In many ways, we can take that picture of what Jesus is saying and say, listen to the rooster crowing. Listen to the Word of God so you come back in the way of Jesus Christ. And then let the world know that you belong to Him. One more lesson. And it's a general lesson, but it's an important one as well. When you tell a lie and get caught up in that lie, then you'll have to tell a bigger lie to cover up that first lie. We saw that already. Lies upon lies upon lies. Remember what the men did when they came and brought evidence against Jesus, a false testimony. And Peter does, first he said, I don't know him. Now he starts to use an oath. I swear to God I don't know him. But there's no end when you start telling lies. So speak the truth. It's right to speak the truth, and it will save you from much difficulty. Because, you know, if you're a child and you lie to your parents, not only will you get punished for lying, but you also are going to hurt your parents that you lied to them. And it'll hurt the Lord. Now, if you lie and you take the punishment, then it's done. But you can add and make things bigger and worse. if you don't speak the truth. From the drip comes the deluge. You know, that little drip of water, eventually it breaks, the dam breaks, and then the flood comes. But when you speak the truth, you honor Christ, you bring glory to His name. Then we come to the third denial of Jesus. There's a denial, then there's a strong denial, and now there's a violent, strong denial of Jesus from verse 70 on. About an hour later, multiple people, not just the girls and not just the men who were nearby, then accused Peter of being a disciple of Jesus. And this time they offered proof. What was their proof? Well, they knew Peter's accent was from Galilee. He probably used words that showed where he was from. You know, if you hear someone from Newfoundland speaking, there's a certain way they speak. And you say, I know where you're from. And these people listened to him and said, we know where you're from. You're from Galilee. That's where Jesus was from. So you are likely his follower. That's why you are here. Maybe there are particular local expressions that people will use. And that's how you know where someone is from. Where someone is from. Now, what was Peter's response when they said, we know you are. Here's the proof of who you are. Disciple of Jesus. Well, Peter then violently and strongly denied even knowing the Lord of his life, the one who saved him, the one who gave him eternity in his heart. And in order to convince those around of his testimony that they were true, Peter started to call curse down from God if he were not telling the truth. Literally, he was saying, may my body and soul spend eternity in hell if I'm not telling the truth. And he knew he was lying. So he moved from denial to denial under oath to denial with the invocation of many curses. There's no worse curse in life than committing one's soul to hell. Literally saying, may I be damned. Can you imagine that? Peter was falling back into his old way of life. That's the kind of way the fisherman spoke. He spoke as if he was not a child of God. And then the Bible says the rooster crowed. That's the late or the second crowing that occurred later in the morning. And he remembered Jesus' words that he would betray him. Matthew, of course, you remember, only mentions one late crowing of the rooster after Peter's third betrayal. But Mark included the earlier crowing that was about midnight. And then Luke adds something very interesting. Luke adds that Jesus turned and looked towards Peter when the rooster crowed the second time. It's as if he wanted to say to Peter, how's your boasting now, my friend? How are you holding up with that you will never leave me and you will die for me and go to prison for me? How are you doing there? Look at the account of in Luke chapter 22, verse 61. Together, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. But I think Peter also remembered something else. Peter would have remembered the words that we read earlier. And Jesus told Peter, look, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. And why do you sift the wheat? To get rid of the chaff. And he's saying, Satan wants to show that you're chaff, that part, that dust part that you blow away, that you have no need for. But the Lord said, I will pray for you that you will be restored. And when you're restored, continue to work for me. I'm sure he looked back at the Lord and thought about that. And we see that what happened next. Peter walked away and wept and repented. Peter's remembrance of the Lord's words then reduce them to repentance and to tears. Now it seems that it was more than the words of Jesus that caused the shame. Peter saw Jesus alone. He had no one around to support him. You know, if someone's going to the hospital for surgery, there are always people there to support them and to encourage them. Or someone's going through some difficult times, there are others who stand behind him. Or someone is dying, you always have relatives around who want to be there and be a support to you. But he saw Jesus had no one. He was the one who was closest, and he was denying Jesus. Even as Jesus was preparing to die. No wonder he was reduced to tears. Now, tears aren't essential to repentance. And you know, sometimes people will shed tears because they want to get their way. Some kids cry to get their own way. We speak of crocodile tears. So tears are not always evidence of repentance. But it does often show shame. And here it was true shame for what he felt for betraying the Lord. On the other hand, the Bible says Judas was sorry, but it was not godly sorrow that led to repentance. No wonder Judas went and killed himself. Whereas Peter was truly sorry, repented of his sins, and eventually was restored. The Apostle Paul describes this for us in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10. Together, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. The world has no hope. Look at some of the funerals of people who are not Christians and the way they wail, because there's a sense of hopelessness. But when Christians die, we think of our brother whose grandfather passed away. There are people who will be mourning and they will cry, but it's not a hopeless kind of cry. It's missing you kind of cry. Godly sorrow produces repentance. How was this repentance shown? This is the unique thing as we prepare to close off. Peter showed repentance, and the Lord made him testify to his repentance. And how many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. And what did the Lord say? Well, you're going to affirm me three times. You're going to affirm that you love me, and you will do so three times. Look at the account. Let's read it from John 21, verse 15 through 17. Together. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. Then he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Three times denial, three times affirmation. And the Lord told Peter, Peter, this is how you will show repentance. You know, people like to say they're sorry. We train our children to do that, and that's important. But what's more important is to show that true repentance. Show true repentance. You see, if you look at the dictionary, it says repentance means to be sorry. That's a bad definition. According to the Bible, repentance is to hate your sin, to forsake your sin, and then turn around and do the right thing. It's much more than simply being sorry. And Peter was sorry. He then went and preached the gospel. And when the leaders in the temple told him, stop preaching in this name, he said, who do you think we're going to obey, you or God? We've got to obey God rather than man. And then Peter even gave his life for Jesus. He died. The history records that he was crucified, and that he was crucified upside down because he said he didn't want to be crucified the way his Lord was crucified. That's when you know true repentance. Luke 22, verse 32, last verse together. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. You see, that's what the Lord said to Peter. So, what lessons can we learn from this third point? Even the strongest deniers of Jesus, he went to the cross for. He didn't say, look, you denied me, I'll give you a break. And maybe you denied me strongly, well, I don't really like that, but I'll give you a break. But you who have really, really and strongly denied me, no. Well, that's not what Jesus did. He forgives all. He forgives his greatest deniers. And that's amazing love. But if you do that, don't stay in that state. Don't stay like David did for 1 year. Remember how David denied the Lord by committing adultery and murdering Uriah? Don't stay in that state. What a miserable year that must have been for him. There's much suffering in the lives of those who deny Jesus and refuse to repent. The truth is, everyone who is a Christian sometimes violently deny Jesus Christ. You know, someone who rejects discipline in the church, they're violently denying knowing Jesus. If you deny the faith simply so you can advance your career, that's denying Jesus. If you speak up for a politician who is doing wickedly, you are denying Jesus. You think about this. How many people, you talk to Christians who support politicians who support the murdering of children. Think of anyone who voted for Prime Minister and his advocacy there. Or any other politician for that matter. People who think that abortion is one of the greatest developments, I think our Prime Minister says, when you understand the gruesomeness of what happens to that baby and the different methods that are used and in the selling of the parts of those babies, ripping them apart, and then someone supports that person, then that's a denial of Jesus. So pray, number three. Pray for those who are straying, who have denied the Lord by their actions. Though they may be living in sin, though they may be hateful, though they may be thieves, though they may be committing adultery, though they may be destroying their bodies by drug addictions and other forms of abuse, God can restore anyone. Anyone. So pray for them. Don't lose hope. Don't say, well, some people are under discipline. You know that from this congregation. Do you pray for them? Do you think that the Lord can change them? Of course He can. He restored the one who denied Him in such a personal way. Someone who sat with Him and talked to Him and ate with Him. He can restore anyone. Don't lose hope. And for you personally, the fourth lesson. Repent every day. Let repentance be part of your vocabulary. You will only repent, though, when the Word of God comes to mind. So read the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Teach it to your children. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. He works through the Word of God. It not only worked well for Peter, it will work well for you as well. So even though you may deny the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, he went to the cross in spite of that. And that's the main picture. But in turn, you will learn to love him and never deny him. Let's conclude. Peter was too self-confident. He became careless and did not watch his step. He fell into trouble. Peter was filled with infirmities. And then he got progressively worse in his denial of Jesus. The Lord who loved him and went to the cross for him. More than that, the Lord who prayed for him and told him, "I'll pray for you, Peter." He was convicted of his sin, and then he repented, and then the Lord strengthened him, and ultimately Peter gave his life for the Lord. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, Jesus kept his focus and went to the cross, even though he was betrayed by Judas, even though he was abandoned by all his disciples, and even though he was denied by his close friend Peter. Love drove him to the cross. Love for you drove him to the cross. And it's wonderful that you've experienced that love. But don't become self-confident. Don't become careless and think that you will never deny the Lord and your faith is strong. Instead, feed your mind with the Word of God and of His love. This is the only daily spiritual exercise that will keep you strong. And brothers and sisters, this is absolutely necessary for your children, that they are reminded day and night what Jesus did for them. That's the focus of the Word of God. That's the focus of every true church. It's on the work of Jesus Christ. And if you do happen to deny the Lord Jesus, and you likely will when you forget to nourish your soul with the love that was seen on the cross, if you deny the Lord Jesus, repent. Don't stay there. He will forgive you. He promised He will forgive you. But if you're not a Christian, you're in trouble. You have denied the Lord by virtue of your life. And you've defied Him as well by doing what is contrary to His Word. And you will go to hell because of that. But if you ask God to make you His child because Jesus died on the cross for your sins, He will receive you as His child forever. And He loves all His children. Every single one. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that we are able to receive the blessings of Jesus Christ. Though we deny Him, You did not leave us. You didn't get angry and say, "How could you do this to me when I've done so much for you?" But rather, Your gracious love says, "Come back. I'm praying for you. I want you to return and be in good stead with me." Yes, Lord, You may discipline us from time to time when we stray. But that's because You love us. And may we listen to the lessons of Your love and be restored to You. Even as we thank You that Jesus Christ didn't get distracted but went to the cross. And now we are Yours. Help us to live as Yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.